Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, a change is coming. Are you ready? A change is coming regardless of who wins the election. A change is going to come. I have back with us my co-host, Dr. J. I missed you last week.
Well, I'm glad to be back with you and be back with the audience. Last week was a whole different story, but we're here. But all of it's been leading up to this time that we're talking about tonight, and that is this most consequential election of our lifetime.
Ooh. Yes, indeed. It is so crucial now. Never before have we been put in a situation like this. I was doing some research and I found out that there's 535 members of Congress, and 100 of those seats are held by senators, and 435 the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. So we have a gamut of people that we vote for in the elections that control our country. So we have to be more aware and enlightened with what's going on. Yes, the president runs our country. However, he does not control it by itself. And last week we were talking and we were talking about the fact that it's always a connection. It's not just left on his shoulders for him to do whatever he wants to do. But we've got a cowboy in position right now who has given people permission to become unhinged. And that's not what we want in this country that we call the U.S. of A. We were one of the strongest nations in the world. People feared us. And now we're almost like the laughing stock. And our power has diminished. But thank God we still have power because of the great I Am. And for that, we stand flat footed and we're prayed up and ready to take it on.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, when you start talking about this nation, you talk about the structure of our government and the reason that it was set up that there's not one dictator. In other words, we have a democracy. We don't have an authoritarian type government. At least we did not have until most recently. We did not have an autocratic system. And what we see happening is that we understand that our government is made up of three co-equal branches of government. And we have to really look at that. We have the executive branch, we have the judicial branch, and we have the legislative branch. And all three of those branches are meant to be checks and balances of the other. But I will say that most people will share the opinion that over the last 4 years, we've not seen that really happen. We've seen the executive branch basically try to mute all the other branches that is there to check and balance. And so people, when they say get out to vote, they must understand why it's so important inside of it. Not only the top tickets, which we're talking about the highest office in the land, the president and vice president, but also their state senators, their state congressmen, also all the way down to the local election. All of these things are so very, very important. And so when we talk about how do we change the face of our country, we change it by knowing who we're electing and knowing the fact that the values that we so love, the things that we are so, if you would, turn to, and the things that we know that we deserve, that we vote that. And for everyone who say that, hey, my vote don't count. No, it doesn't count if you don't vote. That's when it doesn't count. But it mm-hmm. does count. And we here living in South Florida, we ought to know that better than any other state.
Yes.
We've seen major elections, you know, be won and lost right here in Florida, and particularly South Florida. And we see that happening. So we have a responsibility to go out and vote and really make our vote count. As you may see, this is not the most fashionable for everyone, but this is my mask.
Yeah, one of my...
Your vote is your voice. Your voice is your voice. And yes. That's what it's all about.
One of my favorite quotes is by Edmund Burke, and it simply says that evil prevails when good men do nothing. And so many of us are sitting on the wayside doing nothing, just waiting for the ball to drop. And then when the ball drops, then there is a problem. Then everybody crumbles because what, jobs are lost, can't get health care, can't go to the grocery store. We have someone in office that has already given the word that if he's not elected, that he wants a riot. He wants to incite a riot so that he could stay in position. And that's not how it works here. That's not how it's supposed to go. That's why we need to make sure that we also vote for Congress, because they're the ones that we rely on to make sure that the president is straight.
And that's exactly right. So what we're dealing with now is the fact we've not seen nothing like this in our country. Matter of fact, you see things like this in a banana republic, you know, but these are the United States of America. These are the places where we have democracy, we have check and balances, and yet and still we've seen that erode over the last 4 years. I'm very, very highly disappointed, and we should all be troubled, if you would, by the silence oftentimes of erratic behavior, the silence, the what I call the look away type of mentality to so many things that are happening, the antics, poisoning the public, sowing discord among the public, dog whistling, telling people to look, it is like the big bully that I went to school with. It was the big bully who, if they couldn't have their way, you know, they just mess up all the toys. You know, they're at the sandbox, kick everything down because they couldn't have their way. But that's not the way we should be acting. The president
is absolutely not.
It's the most highest office in our land. It is the most highest office and recognized in the free world. And then we think about the fact when we were growing up and even in adulthood, we looked at the office, the presidency, as one of honor, esteem. One that, as little kids, although in our time we could barely dream of one of us ever being president, but it was an office that we respected and we honored. And now I'm afraid that we're left only to honor the office, because what we've seen over the last 4 years have not been what we have become accustomed to as far as leadership's integrity and dignity. Those things have gone out of the window.
That's right. Integrity is, you know, I shudder to think what Wednesday will hold because of the fact that if you're not happy with the results, then you want to onslaught. You rather thousands of lives be lost because you're unhappy. And this is why I felt that it was my duty to we normally do shows on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., but it's the election tomorrow. So everybody's going to be watching that and also praying that there isn't a riot afterwards because of votes, and that there's no mishaps with the mail-in ballots or people trying to vote, you know, because I understand that people are expecting that businesses are already securing their facilities so that they can have a business the day after tomorrow. And it should not be. Billions of dollars was distributed. I said last week that $2 trillion have already gone out. And yes, there was stimulus money that went out to corporations, but guess what? The larger corporations got most of it. And the small businesses, if you ride up and down neighborhoods, you will see that the small mom and pop businesses have folded. Yeah. So the help is still for the rich, getting richer. And yes, there's some small businesses that are surviving and able to continue on because they had a strategic plan in place, or they were already functioning and thriving, and that money did come in handy to keep them afloat. But then you have those people that really didn't have businesses, just took advantage of the money and just spent it in on cars and houses and all this instead of doing what it needed to be. We have to be smart. We have to be focused. We have to be diligent in everything we do right now. It is strategic because this time that we're living in, it didn't happen. It's not happening by happenstance. Everything was written before for our learning. These are things that were written biblically, but they could have been held back based on the heart of man. But because the heart of man has waxed closed, we're accelerating towards the end faster rather than later. So this is not nothing to be shocked about, those that are believers, but we are standing in the gap praying that the mercies of God will prevail, not only for us, but for our children and our children's children, and we not be set back.
Absolutely. You know, these are the times that when we look at it, even through the biblical lens, these are prophetic times. You know, we are witnessing both chaos and kairos happening almost at the same time, intersectionally. And what we have to be aware of is that we have a responsibility, not only as citizens, but definitely as Christians. We have a responsibility in what we say and what we do. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility in exemplifying the will of God and the word of God inside of what we do. And there seem to be some divisiveness. You talked about the small businesses and mom and pop stores, and you're seeing padlocks on doors. You're seeing all of these things here because they're folding. And yet it's still there's propaganda being sold to the American people that we're all right. You know, that we're all right. Hey, we're good. We're good. We're all right. We're not all right. When we continually to point people toward the stock market, we don't live on the stock market. Yeah. When the stock market is pointing toward businesses and those type of fortune companies like that, but where we live on John Q. Public Avenue, that's not coming down to us. And so we're seeing people suffer. We're seeing people die. We're seeing the thing about it that the propaganda is sold to us, the fact that we cut taxes. You did cut taxes for the big corporations. You cut taxes, and many of them are paying very little taxes. And they're paying such little taxes and things, but we're suffering on the other end of it. And this is why this is so crucial. We have to vote. Never in the history of this country since the Boston Tea Party days that people had to be this fearful of the result of an election. Fearful. Businesses are boarding up windows. People are shut out. For what reason? Now we have to ask ourselves a question. Who's posing threats? Who's sending out the signal? Who is saying that I won't necessarily accept the result of the election? Who is saying that there might not be a peaceful transfer of power?
Right. You're already insinuating that, already putting it out there, subliminally telling people, this is what I want you to do. And this is not what we want. So anybody that's in leadership position that is speaking from that vein should be removed, rather voted in or not, because you're inciting war within our nation. And that's not the way the US of A is supposed to function. I'm not, you know, I don't wanna walk out my door and walk down the street, and then because I see someone that's not that's not the complexion that I am, to feel intimidated by them, to think that they may be a threat to me. So,
well, you know, the sad part about it is that type of temperament and attitude represents the worst of America. Mm-hmm. It represents where we once were, and where too many have died to move beyond that place. We have fought throughout our time here in this country, trying to make America live up to its creed. The preamble lends us to this notion that we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal.
All men are created.
That they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet and still, we are living in a time where basically boldly are saying, look, but you don't deserve what I have. I'm better than you. You don't deserve this. Stay in your place. Be happy with what you got, because we're running this. And there's been too much bloodshed. There's been too many lives lost in order for that to be what exists in our country today. And so what happens when we don't vote? When we don't vote, what we're doing is co-signing on that type of behavior. When we don't vote, what we're saying is that that's perfectly all right with me. When we don't vote, let me say something to you. We won't see criminal reform. We won't see police reform. We won't see those things happening. And so we have to be able to, if you would, be able to delineate between the propaganda that is out there. You know, propaganda like, oh, folks want to defund the police. Nah, I didn't hear that from the other platform. And even when people use that term, defund the police, it was really a misused term. It wasn't saying take all the money from the police. What the proper term would be, we want to reallocate funds that the police have. Perhaps we need more mental health workers out there alongside them, or whatever needs to happen. Because look at what we just saw happen in Philadelphia just last week. Look, yes. This man, mental health, has a history of mental health. Family member calls for the ambulance for him. Police shows up and end up killing him. They killed this man. He was of no harm to them. He was mental. What happened to de-escalation? If we don't change those type laws, and then they said we cry racist all every time it happened. Well, we wouldn't cry racist if it didn't just seem to happen to Black folks.
Right. There was a situation in Miami last week, same scenario. The family called the police for help, and they came. But when the police got there, the family members had the young man's hand. It looked like he was his Hispanic descent, had his hands and tied and his feet tied almost like he was a hog tied. Right. So when the police came, they tried to assist. So they untied him because they were going to remove him from the premises. Well, he fought them, I guess, like he fought his family members, and the police tasered him and then put him in handcuffs. So now the family is saying that it was excessive force. So, I mean, you just can't have it both ways. But then I don't want to be in position, and I'm sure that people listening to me today don't want to be in a position where you need the police and they won't come, because not everybody is bad. And right. I don't want to be in a position where something is going wrong and the police are like, oh, that's domestic violence. I'm not coming. I'm a domestic violence advocate. So there's thousands of calls that go out every day with domestic violence. And there had been some reevaluations done with the police on how to handle domestic violence victims, and they handle it with caution. Some won't even enter the premises if there's a domestic violence situation. The person that's being victimized allows them to come in. If they say they're fine, then they're going to step back and walk away. So, you know, where do we stand? I mean, we got to have some type of law, but what we don't need is cowboy law.
Exactly.
We don't need people that are buck wild because they get a voice over the radio or on television telling them it's okay if you go vandalize, it's okay if you stand your ground, and then you cannot be in a position that where it's a stand your ground situation going on, but because you got the commission and the word saying it's okay to do it, then you start staging the thing and killing people at will because you're standing your ground.
You know, that's a very important thing inside of this. And we have to understand once again, that value of what we do. You know, you talk about police reform. Let me tell you, police reform has happened incrementally because of things. You talked about domestic violence. What people didn't know is that domestic violence, more police officers were injured and killed, responded to domestic violence calls than they were any other calls. It is their most frequent calls that they get collectively in a week. Now, why have there had to be reform? Why? Because we learned certain things. Certain practices wasn't good. Other things we need to reform. Here's the problem with that. We had police reform. What we must now have is beyond just police reform that speaks to a situation. domestic violence situation. We now have to deal with the fact of our screening of officers. What is their attitude? Are there prejudice? We understand implicit biasness, and we know there's a lot of things that are there. So have we really done a great job? Because here's the problem when we start seeing this violence, and a lot of violence happen to unarmed Black men and unarmed Black women. Is the problem with this, if it wasn't a form of systemic racism within law enforcement, then why is it that 90% of these cases we see always involve a white officers and a Black person? Why? We haven't seen a George Floyd that is white this happened to. We haven't seen these things. We haven't saw a Sandy Bland that this happened to. We haven't saw, if you would, we haven't saw a Brittany Taylor that this happened to. And so the systemic racism part says this, that we are going to have to screen better. We're going to have to make sure these officers have psychological evaluations on a regular basis. And we're going to have to really see, so many people are not ready to be on the street. Many of them, they come out of having served our country, God bless them. But many of them come out oftentimes without the proper
PTSD training
and those services.
Debriefing.
And then we bring them and we put them right there, back in a position of power on these front lines, and we've got to do a better job. So there's a lot that's happening, and that's why we need to know how to vote, what to vote for, and what's out there. So I believe our guest, we have a guest that's with us tonight. And this gentleman here, he has served our state, former member of the House, legislator here in the state of Florida. And not only that, he is still out there making sure that voters' education is happening, that people know what to do. And matter of fact, he's going to talk a little bit to us tonight about what we call a voter's checklist, which is so important. So, you know, we'd like to welcome our Hot Topics from the Soul audience. We'd like to welcome to our front, Mr. Joseph Gibbons. Thank you so much for being with us on tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be here. Just listening to your conversation and hearing the passion in your voice, and Dr. Valerie, your voice as well, it's refreshing to me because I believe in activism. I believe that the only way we make things happen is if we do it. If we own it, we have to own this. Otherwise, it owns us. So we have to own it. And I was born and raised in Harlem in 1948 in Harlem Hospital. So I've been through the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now I'm in the year 2000. And what I'm saying to you is that we have it within us to make this change. But the only way we can make this change is if we work within the system to make the system work for us. I've been saying for a long time, we have to work within the system to make the system work for us. And the way we do it is by voting.
Right.
I tell people, if you didn't vote, you voted for the other person.
Yes.
You voted for the other person. So this year, I'm not on the ballot. I haven't been on the ballot in 6 years. I served 4 years in the House and 1 year as a city commissioner in Houndale Beach. And, I'm in Palm Beach County now. And I'm really just really introducing myself to Palm Beach County because I've been here because my wife is here. She brought me from Broward to Palm Beach County as president of Palm Beach State College. And she's doing her thing with the college as far as workforce and making sure that students are ready to get into the workforce, trained and prepared to do things. But that all, though, is wonderful. But again, we have to provide the environment so that people can work. And the way we do it is by voting. Now, I think that we're doing a good job as far as information. I have been trying to buy, and Dr. Reverend Thicklin, I want to thank you for, sending out all the things I've, sharing the things I've sent to you. Because my thing is, knowledge is power.
Yes.
The more knowledge we have, the more powerful we are. And we never know who one of these things might reach and how what we say in one of these emails, might make somebody do the right thing. And I say make because you know what? They'll say, I didn't know this or I didn't know that. I didn't know that I could track my mail-in ballot online to see if it's counted. I had no idea of how I'm supposed to approach election day. If in fact I had a mail-in ballot and I didn't send it in, can I still vote? I mean, these are the kinds of questions we have to, and if I didn't have a mail-in ballot, okay, what are the rules of the road to make sure you don't have a problem on election day? So that's the kind of information I've been sending out. I also send out information on being hired as a field worker as a poll watcher. Yeah. You know, my wife is volunteering to do it tomorrow for free, but she took the training, is going down, is going to work a poll from, you know, 5:45 to 7 o'clock or whatever, because we have to be engaged. I kind of liken this to education and parents being involved in the schools. If we don't get involved in our kids' schools, then we're complicit and make sure they don't get a good education, because we have to be engaged. So here, we don't want to be complicit and not making sure our democracy works for us. So what I've been trying to do, and you can stop me at any time to ask that question, because I'm going to get rolling here in a minute like an old Southern Baptist pastor and get a rhythm going and really get into my things. I really am very passionate about this. I enjoy this. And to me, we can't share enough. We can't share enough. So what I've been trying to do is send out every piece of information that the Supervisor of Elections Office has available to us. That is critical. That is critical to us because, number one, we have to make that office accountable because it's an elected office. So therefore, it is incumbent upon that elected office to make sure that people get on the vote.
You know, you said something that's so important, and you hit a lot of points there. And I think you was kind of going through your checklist of what we need to know, because there are so many people. Watch this. This is something that people may not realize, that in our primaries, you're basically able to vote at any precinct within your county, anywhere. Right. But tomorrow that changes, and you have to go to your assigned precinct.
Exactly.
And then you have to go there. You need to have your ID. You need to be ready to do so, and you've got to anticipate the fact that you're going to have long lines tomorrow. I had a case today where someone actually instant messaged me on Facebook with that very question. This individual used to live in Palm Beach County up until a month ago. They moved up to Melbourne, and guess what? They attempted to vote before they left, but they did not. Now they're saying, okay, do I come back to that precinct to vote? Well, she didn't change her membership. She didn't change her location. However, I'm saying, no, you cannot vote at that precinct because that's not where your last address said that you were.
Exactly. Exactly. So
these are the type of things that happen, and people become disappointed because of the fact they didn't know. You brought up a second point, the Supervisor of Elections Office. Why is it that so many people treat that as if that office is not touchable, and when really that office is designed for we the people?
Right.
We the people. Your point about tracking your vote, your mail-in vote, that message has to resound loud and clear, especially when we're hearing it, the propaganda, the divisive talk, casting doubt on mail-in voting and vote by mail, when the reality is it's not fraudulent. Don't scare people until their vote's not going to count, when you literally can track your vote. You can track it and know they received it. You can track it and know that it's been counted. And we have to know that, and we have to make sure it happens, because tomorrow represents, and you've already outlined from 48 until now, you've outlined, so you've seen many elections.
I have.
In my time, I've seen the number of elections I have. But I also look at the fact I was born and raised in Selma, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So I understand the spirit of that very well inside of voting. But for those that are still saying their vote don't count, even with less than 10 hours before the polls close, what do you say to them tonight?
I'll say to them, every vote counts. Every vote counts. You know, people talk about the Electoral College. And since we have an Electoral College, even though Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, she didn't win the Electoral College.
Right.
But the Electoral College is determined by the number of votes in your state. Now, mm-hmm. I was blessed and fortunate enough, I was in the Electoral College in 2008 for President Obama and in 2012 for President Obama. So I got to see the inside of the way the Electoral College works. And I'm telling you, the way it works in Florida, the party that wins the state get all the electoral votes. We don't split up the votes based on congressional districts. So if your vote, if we win this state with your vote, we get all 29 Electoral College votes. I think that's going to be critical tomorrow. critical tomorrow, because if in fact, now I got to be nonpartisan in this conversation because I'm talking,
right,
you know, for the supervisor of election, just like you have to be nonpartisan because right, there's a separation of churches.
I'm not wearing my other hat, so I don't have
to. There's a skillful way to do that, and pastors can teach me, okay, because they're very skilled at that, at least the pastors I know and have been involved with all my life. There's a skillful way of doing that. And what I'm saying to you is that your vote counts. Everything counts. You know, my first election, I ran for city commissioner in Hallandale Beach. You know, it was an open election, no districts, and there had only been one elected city commissioner black in Hallandale Beach in history. So when I ran, everyone said, "Jones, no way you're gonna win. First of all, you're not from here. All right. Second of all, you're not that well known in the community, but you know, so don't even try." Well, you know what? I won my first election by 52 votes. And I beat the former mayor of Hallandale Beach, who was trying to make a comeback, who had been mayor for two or three terms and was trying to make a comeback. I won by 52 votes out of like 10,000 votes. So I'm the one who's here to testify to say every vote counts, because if 52 people had not voted for me, I would have never, ever been elected at the local office. And again, when I ran, I was there for one term. My state representative term limited out. The district I represented down in Broward County was 70% Jewish district. And I was told, "Joe, don't even try it. Not enough black faces in that district for you to even think about it. We don't even know why you resigned as a city commissioner to run for that seat." But, you know, God put it in me to say, forget all the stuff they're saying to you. It's in your spirit. And if you have the spirit, then you have to do it. And what I'm saying to you is, it's got to be in your spirit tomorrow. I can't tell you how important it is for you. It's got to be in your spirit. You've got to feel it, because your vote matters. Your vote will make the difference. So you have to vote. Your vote will absolutely count. The more votes we have, all right, the more chances you have of your candidate winning. It's really plain and simple. And, you know, one and one makes two. All right. So as long as one and one makes two, you got to keep adding those numbers together, because your one plus one makes two. Now, I tell everybody, you're not just responsible for your vote. You're responsible for 10 votes. Your vote is one vote. But you are responsible for getting at least 10 people to vote. If you're getting 10 people to vote, then you're really participating in the system. And let me say this about our pastors, because your voice, people love you. I was a politician. I used to tease my pastors down there. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm in the same business you are. I just got a bigger church. I got 165,000. But the only difference between me and you is mine don't tithe. Okay? But you know, the idea is, people listen to you. People trust you. People love you. And so that puts you in a very special position to talk to their hearts. And I feel so comfortable after listening to you before you introduced me to come on, that, you know, you're in the right place and that you are really getting the message out. And when I contacted you about, you know, getting this information out, you, without hesitation, agreed to do it. So, you understand. Now we have to get everybody to understand. And the way we get everybody to understand is we keep preaching to them and we keep bombarding them. You know, nothing wrong with repetition. Nothing wrong with repetition.
Absolutely.
You know, we got to keep telling them. We got to keep telling them, because you know what? They will feel, especially this year, with the coronavirus going around, with all the people, you know, that are dying, the Affordable Care Act, you know, covered a precondition, right? If that goes away and you had coronavirus, you can't get insurance. So your very life, literally, when we say vote because your life depends on it, that is how concrete your life depends on it. Because the things that are on the ballot this year are life-changing, life-threatening, but also life opportunity issues. So your vote counts. You can't, if you don't vote, you know, you're saying, then do to me as you will, because I really don't care. And you do care. You care because, do you like to eat food? Do you like a roof over your head? Do you like the electricity that you get? All that is on the ballot. You may not see it, but that's what's on the ballot. Your daily living is on the ballot. Where you live, how you eat, how you are educated, that's on the ballot. And you mentioned earlier about the down ballot races. To me, those races are critical. Your local government is where you start. Those are people that you see and deal with. And my disappointment is that most people don't know that, and most people don't take advantage of it. When I was a state representative, the most important thing to me was what I call constituent services. If you were a barber and you had a problem with DPR, the Department of Business Professional Relations, getting your license, you came to my office and we took care of that for you. Well, your local state council people, your local county commission members, your local state representative, your local state senator, we have to do a better job of educating our people of the power that these people have and the reach that they have inside the government. They are your representative inside the government. And don't forget this, they work for you.
Absolutely.
You are their boss. You are their boss. So now you have tomorrow the opportunity to determine who becomes you, who goes to work for you. And it's up to us, once we vote for them, to make sure they work for us. So listen to me. This is all up to you. The information on voting, I mean, I've sent out flyers on tracking your ballot. I sent out flyers on an election day checklist to make sure that you check these things off before you go. Everybody, please listen to me. You do not have to worry about coronavirus in the elections offices and in the precincts. They have done a big job because they know that people are afraid. That's why we had so much mail-in voting. People are afraid to go into the polling place, all right? But the poll workers have been trained. They understand the exact protocol. All the protocols have been put in place to make sure that you are safe when you go to that ballot box. So the last thing you have to worry about is coronavirus and safety. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing you've got to worry about is getting there and making sure you vote. So listen to me. This is so important. I mean, I can't stress to you how important it is just for your, you know, I like to say that, look at it at the third grade FCAT level, all right? If you understand the third grade FCAT level, you got to understand that you can read this stuff and understand what it really means to you. These words matter. And the words we've been hearing, they really matter. And they're talking to you or against you. They're not talking for you. So what we have to make sure is that we get out there, because our voice is our vote. If you want to have a voice, then you have to vote. No vote, no vote, no voice.
Joe, yes. It's unfortunate that a lot of people won't participate in their own rescue until the oxygen mask is taken away. Mm-hmm. A change is going to come day after tomorrow. What would you say would be some action steps that people can take? Because there are going to be millions of people who haven't voted and are not going to vote because, number one, they did not register. Number two, they moved out of an area and thought they could get back to vote. Number three, they couldn't get off from work or they became ill. So there are going to be millions of people who have not voted and will not vote on tomorrow. And as I said, that oxygen mask is going to be there. It's going to be removed and thousands upon thousands of people's lives are going to be affected by what takes place tomorrow. Good, bad, or indifferent. What next?
What next? If you have not had the opportunity to vote, if you were a convicted felon and you had some fine that you didn't know about that they couldn't even tell you about that prevented you from having your rights restored, I mean, those are all things that I call impediments to justice, impediments to democracy, all right? They're always going to be there. They're always going to be there. But we have to take responsibility into our hands because we're not going to let the devil win, okay? We just cannot do that. So it's up to us. Now, if you were disenfranchised this time, what you got to do is make sure you're not disenfranchised next time because in 2 years, there's going to be another election.
Right. Don't give up.
No. That should make you even more determined. That should make you more determined and more frustrated that you did not plan to make it happen this year. So you've got to plan. This is your life. Who does not plan? If you don't plan your future, you have no future. So what I'm saying is you've got to plan your future. Now, if you didn't have the opportunity, you were disenfranchised this time. You got to start planning now because you know what? In 2 years, you get another opportunity. You don't get an opportunity to vote for president, but you get an opportunity to vote for governor.
Yes.
And trust me, that's huge in this thing.
Yes.
That's huge. Is the power the governor has. I'm telling you, having been on the inside, having been the ranking Democratic member on the Appropriations Committee, which is a committee that approves all the appropriations. I mean, as far as programs for your community, Head Start, Healthy Kids, or whatever the programs that you want to have in your community that you need funded, all right? This is what your vote does.
Yes.
This is what your vote does. So if you were disenfranchised this time, make sure, be determined that you don't let it happen next time, because whatever stopped you this time, you know what it is. And there's help available.
Be relentless.
Oh, there's help available. If in fact you were disenfranchised, there's help available. Now I give people my phone. I still think I'm in office, so I give everybody my cell phone number. Every time I send some help, I send my phone number, because if you call me, I'll help you. It's who I am. And I had 165,000 constituents that all had my cell phone number. And you know what? Call me, or call the supervisor of elections office. If you can identify what the problem is, I always say, now that you know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? No. What does it mean to you? When you know we got a problem, you got to fix that problem. We do it all the time. No matter where we are in life, we try to fix our problems. Well, now your problem is being identified. If you couldn't vote, there's a reason why you couldn't vote. It will be identified and it can be cured, no matter what it is. So that would be my recommendation. If you've been disenfranchised, if you moved and didn't fix your address, all the things that can happen to prevent you from voting, it will be identified if you try to vote. It will be identified and you can fix it. And there's help available. You can call the supervisor of elections office. All right. Since they're the ones who are pointing out to you what the problem is, they're the ones who can tell you where you need to go to cure it. Again, we have to take advantage of these public offices that are available to us. There's no reason why you can't know what you have to do. And there's help available for you to do it regardless of what it is. If you were a felon and they said, well, you didn't pay all your fines. Right now, they can't even tell you how much you owe. So I know a project with some people I were involved in this time that said, okay, what we did is we took your case and we went to a judge and had your fine turned into a civil fine, which then allowed you to vote. Because it's not for civil fines, it's for criminal fines. So there was, and I couldn't get this information out enough, fast enough to enough people to know that if you come, the restoration project with Desmond Mead, they had the information because there were judges in each county that we knew that if we can get your case, take it to that judge, we'll have that judge change your criminal fine into a civil fine, which then eliminates your ability not to vote. So what I'm saying is there are things that can happen. If you flush your problem out, don't be embarrassed by it, be emboldened by it, because there is a lot of things, information out here. It can't be disseminated deep enough and fast enough. It just can't be.
I had the opportunity to work with a few gentlemen that actually went through the Florida Restoration Rights Commission. And of course, Desmond Mead and the job they do there is absolutely incredible. It was my pleasure and delight to be able to stand beside a couple of gentlemen who voted for the first time in their lives. Both of these gentlemen were returning citizens. I personally had the opportunity to have mentored one when he was still in prison, only has been out since December of 2019.
Wow.
And the fact that to see his life turn around and him being so hungry, and to hear those gentlemen talk about what it meant to them to be able to cast a ballot. I mean, they voted early and they voted in souls to the polls. And this was powerful because what it showed was they understood the fact of what it is not to be able to vote.
Right. Yeah, because they had their freedom taken away from them.
And one of the things that was very important was that they took ownership of their situation and repositioned themselves.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, how that affects them versus a civil charge versus a criminal charge.
Yeah, you absolutely have to own your space and reposition yourself so that you can be great.
Okay.
Because you are great. No matter what your station in life, you're great.
Right.
You are here.
We all fall down. We all make mistakes. Yeah. Everybody makes mistakes. But don't let your mistake continue. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do in this election right now, you got another 2 years. If God delays is coming and we're still here, You can put your vote in. So position yourself to make your voice heard. Position yourself to stand as an equal and position yourself by owning your space, own the procrastination, own your failures, and mount up yourself.
You know what?
Dust yourself off and keep it moving. Because we can't turn back tomorrow. We can only deal with right now and tomorrow. We can't deal with what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's that low self-esteem, you know, has to change. And I used to talk to, when I was in the office, I used to talk to a group of people who were in transitional living. And in prison, they put them in transitional living before they put them back on the street. And I used to tell them, you know what? The only difference between me and you is you got caught.
Right. We all messed up. Everybody's an ex something.
Right. The only difference between me and you is you got caught. So, you know, I'm positive about myself. You need to be positive about yourself because we've all made mistakes. We're not perfect. Right. All right. If you live your life, you're not going to be perfect because there are all these draws in life that, you know, I mean, there's culture, right? And then there's, in my book, Christianity. And which one drives you most? Does culture drive you most? And for most of us, the answer is yes. All right. We are pulled more to culture than to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do is every day get up and say, OK, what can I do today to help myself be more toward Christianity and away from culture? Because if, in fact, I do it every day, do one thing, think of one thing. Maybe I get up and I say a 5-minute prayer or read one passage in the Bible every day. But I try to do one thing in my life on a weekly basis. I want to do something different every week to make me get more away from culture and more towards Christianity, because culture is very appealing. It's extremely appealing. You know, I mean, it has a just tremendous draw to all of our weaknesses. All the things we think are fun, all right, are just that's not just fun. There's fun being a Christian and giving your life to God. You will never find more fun and more satisfaction in your life than giving your life to God. So what I'm saying is that don't feel bad for yourself no matter what your situation is. No matter what the situation is, you know, there is a plan for you. All you got to do is let God do his work. You know, I call it submission.
Yeah.
You got to submit yourself. And there's a power larger than you. There's a power larger than your mistakes. There's a power larger than your condition right now. Just let it work with it and let it work with you. And I'll tell you, that will make you vote. Because, listen, it doesn't cost any money to vote. It doesn't cost you any money. It's free. It's not like you have to earn this. It's your God-given right as an American citizen being born. It's your God-given right. So you have to claim your rights.
You know, Mr. Gibbons, one thing, you know, when you talk about claiming your right, you talk about that God-given right. But that God-given right, much like our salvation, it was earned by bloodshed.
Absolutely.
It was earned by that. Absolutely. And so when we start talking about, you know, paying it forward, we owe it to the generation behind us. We owe it to the generation, should I say, that is coming up behind us, because in fact, there were those that paid this ultimate price. You know, I think about it as a child of the South growing up in Selma, and I could recall the fact of so many things that was at the forefront. Our preachers and pastors were very vocal in terms of those rights and what it meant there. The late now Reverend Dr. Frederick Douglass Reese, who, though soft-spoken, very persistent educator, led so many things. And as a boy, I saw the intense passion that he had. And it said to me, listen, you can make a difference. I saw the politician preacher, Reverend Lorenzo Harrison Jr., who I would love to come to our church as a guest speaker. I liked him a lot more than I liked my own pastor, the truth be told. But I loved him coming because he was so full of passion. He always had a message on rights and civil rights and why we must stand up. And people of Selma, we can't lay down. And as a kid in the balcony, I would lean over the balcony watching him, full of spirit. And he inspired me. He inspired me that you can make a change. Yeah. We can be a change. And I say, even to this day and time, in a day and time that in many ways we as clergy have kind of pulled back a little bit too much when it comes to this thing, we must stand up again and become that voice from that pulpit. We must be that voice and remember that every great movement we've seen in this country has somehow or another came out of the church. The civil rights movement birthed in the church. We understood not only the power of coming together and that we was inextricably tied, but we also understood the power that we had been given by God. But like any power and like knowledge, we like to say knowledge is power. But really, the reality is only the knowledge that we apply becomes power.
That's true.
And we got to be willing to apply that knowledge.
You know, I was fortunate. Adam Clayton Powell was my congressman as a young man.
Yes.
And if you wanted to see somebody who stood up against Congress, against everybody, yeah. Adam Clayton Powell. So I was in Harlem as a young man.
Telling our ages.
I'm 72 and proud. I'm telling you that right now. Because I make sure I stay in good shape. I take care of my God, body. But what I'm saying, you can't do good for God if you don't take care of yourself.
Right.
You got to take care of yourself. But I saw Adam Clayton Powell as a young man. And I tell you, he was an image that I aspired to because he didn't take anything from him.
Yes.
And they tried to put everything on him. And for me, that was an example because they're going to try to put everything on you.
Exactly.
And he had reached a level, and he was a pastor.
Yeah.
He was a pastor. He was definitely a pastor. Right. And I'll tell you, he stood up.
Yes.
He stood up. I mean, he stood up, he stood out, and he took nothing from nobody. And so we have these examples in our lives. We have pastors like yourselves. I mean, you are that. You don't know the impact you have on young people. You don't know the word, the impact that the words you say have a tremendous impact on people, not just young people, but old people too. So given that voice, given that, you know, that ability, because it's an ability, it's a God-given ability. Everybody can't be a pastor. Everybody can't be a doctor, a lawyer. I'm just an Indian chief, I told everybody. Because everybody was doctors, lawyers, or Indian chief, I'm an Indian chief, right? But God gave us all a gift. And we have to take the gifts that we have, no matter how big or small we think they are, because you do have an impact on a lot of people. And I want to thank you, absolutely thank you, for being as active as you are, because you have to be in the race to win the race. Okay. And this is being in the race. And the race for us is tomorrow. Yes. And you know what? And no matter how hard they try, no matter what they try to do, the votes are going to be counted. The votes are going to be counted, especially here in Palm Beach County, because I would like to think that I've had some influence on our supervisor of elections.
I love your new theme. I love it. Palm Beach County is election ready.
Yes.
And I think just that motto alone infuses a sense of faith and confidence. We know some of the issues that we've had in past years, not only with Palm Beach County supervisor election, but also Broward County. And not necessarily the supervisor of election themselves, but oftentimes we had faulty equipment. We had things that wasn't ready for that. Consider the fact that we in this country have had over 98 million people to early vote. That's unheard of in terms of that. And then you couple that issue there with the fact that in the state of Florida, I think we've already had over 9.1 million. This is unheard of. So do people take democracy seriously? Yes, they do. But because they realize there are a lot of things that are on the ballot.
Right.
And we have to understand those things
are on the ballot. Their lives are at stake.
Our lives are at stake. Our quality of lives are at stake. Our future is at stake. Our schools are at stake. Everything is at stake inside of this whole election. And we must understand it cannot be left up to propaganda and rhetoric alone. We must hold people accountable. Here's the thing. We get a choice to see an incumbent. It's not like 2016 when it was open slate and when you got two people running that was not incumbent. We're looking at an incumbent. So we have a record to be able to review. We have proof. It's not pulling a rabbit out of your hat.
No.
And we have to ask ourselves the question, who do we believe? Do we believe what we see? Are we going to believe our lying eyes? Are we going to believe the rhetoric that we hear coming forth? Because at the end of the day, folks, America in many ways have stepped back. And I continue to go back and look at being a child of the civil rights movement, being a child who understood things about riots and those things like that. I've not seen what I see now since the 60s. and what we're seeing. So that's been a step back, but we can't step back and stay back. We must understand right. the fact that there's been too much that has been sacrificed to go forward. And
too that's much.
What we do. The young group, just like we did back in the time, SNCC, that group there was instrumental inside of the civil rights movement. Absolutely. Young people getting engaged, understanding the fact of that their voice count, and they're creating a better tomorrow for themselves. And I would say this, and as we get ready to close, I know this, I would really encourage people to start getting involved on their local level. Start understanding democracy. Start understanding civics. Start understanding how the government works. As you said, how do I hold my local officials accountable? In other words, even after the elections are over, do we all just go back to our houses and say, do what you said you're going to do? Or do we hold them accountable? And we have to be able to do so, because I tell people my first civic lesson really was not that. It was the fact of watching how the PTA ran. Okay. They had a PTA president. I saw those things there, but it was power.
Right.
It was responsibility.
You know, and it's a special message to Black men. The ladies are killing us this far in early voting.
Yes.
They really are. I think it was like 58% of their early votes were female.
Absolutely.
Men, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Black men, you gotta get out there and vote. No matter, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm afraid. I think I had an old outstanding warrant for speed ticket 20. Don't worry about that.
No.
Don't worry. None of that's gonna come into play tomorrow.
Exactly.
None of that is in play. When you see a little sheriff and police, don't
There's
worry.
There's nobody that's going to arrest you at the polls for child support.
No, no. And that's the point that I think that's some of the fear that some of us have, because we know we did something wrong or we're not doing something we're supposed to do. So we think if we go to the polls, it's an official place, and we're going to get arrested for something. No, you're not going to get arrested. So go there and exercise it's your value, it's your right. Exercise the one thing you have that you don't have to pay for. Exactly. And that's your right to vote.
Well, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, polls open all over this great country of ours. And for those that have not voted, I'm going to encourage you, hey, get a good night's sleep, wake up early in the morning. You might want to get there early, because the lines will be long for those, for whatever reason, that chose to go out and vote on this November 3rd. And it's going to be important that you come ready. Come ready with your ID. Come ready knowing that you're the right precinct. If you got a long wait, pack a lunch or whatever you have to do. And some of our polling areas there, we are working with groups that are providing meals and providing
water. And rides.
And so we are trying to eliminate every excuse. There's one thing to have voter suppression, but it's also another thing to have voters apathy, where you feel no need to go forth and go out. And so we want to encourage you, listen, let's move beyond the obstacle and the barriers, because listen, at the end of the day, our vote is our voice. Right. It is the one time that we are heard. It's the one time that we are included. It is the one time that regardless of our condition, regardless of our past, regardless of our temperament, we are heard. And so we want people to get out and vote tomorrow. Let's do so. You heard Mr. Gibbons say, men, and especially Black men, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our families. We owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to our children to get out and vote. We ought to be the light. Jesus said we are the light of the world. And I don't believe he was saying that we was the tail light.
Right.
We need to be the headlight.
Yeah. And you know what? Palm Beach County is voter ready.
Absolutely. All right. Been a pleasure having you, Mr. Joe Gibbons, here on Hot Topics from the Soul. And I want to remind everyone that your vote counts, your life matters, and evil prevails when we sit and do nothing. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our ancestors who stood in the gap for us to move onward bound. A change is coming, and let us be a part of that change we want to see.
Please invite me back to do a wrap up after the election.
I would love
to come back and do a wrap up to see that's our action plan. Everybody said, what's your next step? Our next step now is, okay, those who were elected, all right, what's our next step with them? That's the wrap up I want to do. This is what happened. Now we know what's our plan going forward. What are we going to do about it? That's absolutely what I'd love to come back to discuss that.
Sounds awesome. Great to me.
And if you have any other questions or comments, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. Dr. Thicklin, how can they reach you?
Once again, you can reach me, manofpurpose2000@gmail.com.
Good night. God bless. Thank you once again, Mr. Joe Gibbons.
Thank you so much. You
did, okay.
Good night. Yeah. All right. This is great.
All right.
All right. Okay. Happy voting, everybody.
Yes. To the polls.